calling from the men's shelter in Toronto named Corey. You're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Hi.
Hi. Okay, I was listening to the radio and I heard something regarding homelessness and children.
Yes, we'd like to know your thoughts.
Well, I'm presently homeless and I have two children living with an ex-spouse in Montreal. I'm living in Toronto now in a men's shelter.
Okay.
And the one thing that I came to understand about being homeless with children, okay, is first off, I agree with Buddy from Winnipeg who said that, you know, if you're homeless, you shouldn't be having children. But at the same time, you know, I got myself into a situation where I ended up having children. Like, it was totally unexpected.
Yeah.
But what I came to realize is, you know, if you want to support your family and you want to take care of your kids and everything, you need to take responsibility for your actions. You need to take responsibility for the consequences that, you know. I mean, if you're bringing lives into this world, you should be...
Oh. Sorry, we seem to have lost Corey. Really sorry, Corey. I know you must be listening. We're having a... We had a little connection problem there. But what Cora was saying was that we have to take responsibility for our actions. Ce que Cory disait, il appelait de Toronto, qu'il suggère à tout le monde de prendre la responsabilité pour leurs actions. Les itinérants, les sans-abri, tout le monde en général. Parce que si on apporte des enfants dans ce monde, il faut être responsable. Pour les conséquences de cette action. Il disait ça en réponse de John de Winnipeg qui avait parlé sur ce sujet aussi.
We do invite Corey or anybody else who's listening to call the 1-800 toll-free number with your questions, comments, rants, inspirations, ideas, songs, anything to do with the topics of this broadcast, which are homelessness and poverty in Canada, a very real reality in every city across the country, every community. So please call 1-866-763-4136. That's 1-866-763-4136.
We are now rounding 1 a.m., 1 heure du matin, ici à Montréal. C'est le marathon des sans-abri. And right now we've got Andy, and he's back, and I think he wanted to say something. Here you go, Andy.
I just popped in to say how important this marathon is, and to make people and the citizens in our cities, our provinces, and country realize that we do have a serious problem here, and you know, we can't turn our backs on this problem. It's reality, and this is why we're doing a program like this to. This evening for 14 hours because it's a very big issue, and it's in all of our hearts, and it's about homeless people's lives, and it's about poverty issues and housing issues, and we're trying to do the best that we can to try and get as much information as we can out to you people, and we'd like to have your feedback also, and feel free to call us at 1-866-763-4136. And the lines are open, and don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, radio is for free. You don't have to pay anything, so we're not going to send you a bill. You can call us in. The number again is 1-866-763-4136. I sound like a broken record, but again, I'm going to give you the number. 1-866.
Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Homelessness affects people all over the world. For the next hour, we will connect with the 7th annual U.S.-based Homelessness Marathon, the inspiration and the source of the original idea for our national Homelessness Marathon here in Montreal. We're going to be discussing problems and solutions at the federal level in Canada, America, and Switzerland. I'm hoping that our telephone lines are open and that we have Michael Shapcott on the line. Michael, are you there?
There's no Michael.
Okay, we're going to hopefully have Michael on soon. He is the co-chair of the National Housing and Homelessness Network. Also joining us in the next hour, I'm not sure if we have her on the line yet, just checking, Libby Davis, NDP, Member of Parliament for Vancouver East. Libby, are you there?
Libby?
I'm not sure if we have Libby on the line right now, but we are going to get her online right away. Also joining us this hour, Walter Schmid, president of the Swiss Social Welfare Conference. Walter is an activist involved in homeless issues and is not just a policy manager, in his own words. Walter, are you on the line? Okay, so we do not actually have any of our guests for this hour right on the line right now, but we are still looking for to put your voice on the line. 1-866-763-4136. We are talking about global perspectives on homelessness. Homelessness is a problem that affects many people in every society on this planet, and we are doing a national marathon, 30 stations across Canada. We have stations from...
We have the U.S. Marathon on right now.
Okay, we do have... Okay, we have someone from the U.S. Marathon.
We have Michael.
Hey everybody, it's Nobody, and welcome back to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hi, Nobody.
This hour, we're going to be talking internationally. Gretchen, are you there?
Gretchen is not on the line. Hello.
Nobody?
Hello, Nobody, can you hear me?
Yes, who am I speaking to?
My name is Dexter X here in Montreal.
Dexter
in
X?
In front of the Café Sur la Rue in downtown Montreal.
All right. Well,
Gretchen is
ministers.
Not with us right now, but there's a number of us here out in the cold. We're really glad to have you on the line.
Well, we're glad to be with you, and let me tell my listeners here in the United States that for this hour we're joining with the Canadian Homelessness Marathon, so both marathons in North America are simulcasting.
We've got 30 stations hooked up in our network here. How many people are participating in the American Homelessness the 7th Annual American Homelessness Marathon down there?
We have about 84, 85 stations altogether. They're not all necessarily on the line at the moment, though.
Any idea what kind of listenership that you've built up over these last 7 years?
Not a clue. We don't have any kind of good way of tracking that. All we know is that the audience has been growing. Somebody handed me a note that says 86 stations. Okay, I stand corrected. So who do you have with you there?
Right now, around the table, we have... Andy, who is a longtime CKUT volunteer. He's a veteran squatter, a veteran social housing, squatting, and homelessness advocate. And in a conversation I had with him earlier, a self-described shit disturber. We have Anna, also a volunteer with CKUT.
That was a ship, like as in ship in the ocean disturber?
No.
Oh.
Any place, whether it's about to sail into the future...
Yep.
Or if it's something, a bucket that's kind of nasty smelling and needs to get taken out, Andy's your man.
Well, we have laws against saying certain things on the radio here, so...
I'm sorry. We're cross borders and crossing certain... excuse me. We can take that out in the archive.
Limitations.
Okay.
And Stefan Christoph is an activist with the International Solidarity Movement. He's a member of No One Is Illegal, an activist group based in Montreal that fights for the rights of non-status... people who are discriminated against and suffer various kinds of oppression due to their lack of citizenship or other status issues, fighting for refugee and immigrant rights. He's also an independent journalist that we're proud to have work with us at CKUT, and has also been on Free Speech Radio News on the Pacifica Network. Say hi, Stefan.
Hello, how are you doing in the United States?
Well, it's good to be talking to you, Stefan. And on the line... Here, we are also joined by Walter Schmid, who is the chairman of the Swiss Conference on Social Welfare and the former director of social services in Zurich, Switzerland. Walter, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Oh, hello. Thank you for welcoming me.
It's very good to have you back with us again, Walter.
Well, my pleasure.
Would any of our Canadian friends like to ask some questions of Walter? Do you have other guests as well?
I don't have other guests, you know... it's early in the morning here in Europe, and we are happy to... Oh, I'm happy to be with you.
Very good.
But there are not many people around now at this hour with me. So the only thing I have a little bit difficult is to hear the colleagues from Canada technically. Is it possible to put up the volume a little bit?
Well, if they can do it, they'll do it in the control room. I don't control that.
Yeah.
Well, Walter, why don't we start with you anyway? Tell us, do you have hordes and hordes of homeless people on the streets?
Sorry. she's trying to jump. Okay. Hello?
We apologize for some of the technical issues that we're having. I'd like to emphasize that this entire project that you're listening to is volunteer run and produced through volunteer labor and not much money. It's also quite experimental. It's the first time that we've used a lot of the equipment that we've patched together. It's a spit and string operation that we've done through dedication and love. And so we appreciate your patience as you listen to us try and make our way through some of the technical issues that we're facing. We're going to have Walter Schmidt back with us in a moment. Walter, are you there?
I think we got cut off.
We're gonna get the American Homelessness Marathon back on, and
that might be them. Hello.
Well,
Walter, are you there? We're gonna get those guests back on the air as soon as we can. We're going to continue talking about the global aspects of homelessness, and I know that Stefan has just returned from. Okay, I think we've got them.
So, if they were homeless otherwise. So there is a whole set of what we call accompanied housing, where you have from the cities houses, apartments rented, which are rented out to people with difficulties. And this housing is accompanied. It means there are social worker or people who are looking from time to time to the inhabitants. And by this system, even people who have difficulties to live on their own are able to have a home of some kind. These are not generous homes, but at least they have a room and share usually some rooms in a some people share an apartment. And so this model has helped us in the last 10 years to overcome by and large homelessness.
In Canada there, Stephen or Gretchen, do you have a member of parliament with you on tonight?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question?
Do you have a member of parliament from Canada with you tonight?
Libby Davis was supposed to join us. Libby, are you on the line? I'm sorry, we don't seem to have her right now. We're hoping to have her on in a few moments, but she's not with us right now.
Well, would any of you like to ask a question of Walter while we're waiting?
Well, we cut out for a moment, so I'm not sure if he began to comment on this or not, but we were wondering about what works in the Swiss system, or does it work? Because we know that what we've got here in Canada doesn't, and we're looking for models to learn something from. So Walter, what works about addressing homelessness in the Swiss system?
Could you repeat that question? I didn't hear it.
Perhaps we can play Broken Telephone. Nobody, if you heard me, perhaps you can.
Yeah. What works? What is it? They want to learn what works. What works?
Well, I think, first of all, what works is that the responsibility for these questions is up to the communities, which means that the communities have to solve their own problems. The second point is that these communities must be able to finance such measures so that they have their own taxes, which allows them to implement social measures. You know, if you're waiting for a program or a scheme of the federal government, you can be sure that it takes too long. And with this local approach, the communities, the cities themselves have an interest to solve the problem. And they have also to have some financial means, not just to give them the task. And then I think it is very important to give people a real right that they can claim for a place to live, and that that those who have difficulties to live on their own are accompanied. And I think this is important, to have the clear competence, to have the finances, and to hold, and also to agree that many people need some assistance in finding places in housing and to provide this assistance. I think these are the three things which are important. If, for instance, Switzerland or Zurich had also a couple of years ago a big homelessness problem, and then politicians started to act, and I think the happy thing about this is that they were acting in a way to solve the problem and just not to push the people out. So I think that was an approach which worked, and surprisingly, I must say, it has worked also in the last years, where we had sometimes housing shortage, or still have housing shortage, where we had the economy going up and down, and this has not fundamentally changed. So even in times of economic difficulties we had in the last 2 years, this model has worked.
I'd like to tell our listeners in both countries, by the way, that for this international discussion, we invited the White House in here in America to send a representative, anyone they would designate. We called, we sent a fax, we followed up and called again. And not only did they not send a representative, they never even gave any formal response to our request at all. So that's why there is no American representative on this panel tonight.
That's very sad.
We actually did manage to have the minister responsible for homelessness on with us at the beginning of our broadcast earlier this evening. We don't have an actual ministry that's responsible for homelessness, but our labor minister is responsible for the secretariat regarding homelessness. And she's not with us now, but she did manage to join and was quite supportive of our efforts here in our marathon. However, she described how powerless she was and how under-prioritized the problem of homelessness was. So even her, as a member of the governing party, as the part of the ruling government here in Canada, was complaining about the lack of attention that the government is giving to the problem of homelessness here in Canada.
But you actually got a cabinet minister to appear on your program.
At the very beginning of our show.
Well, I think that's... speaks volumes, and I think it speaks very well of Canada. We were not so lucky here, and with the Democratic candidates, both we invited to appear, they blew us off. Dennis Kucinich gave us 15 minutes. He was the only one who didn't. The mayor of Cleveland was invited and refused to participate. So, you know, we couldn't even get the mayor of Cleveland on this program, and you got a cabinet minister in Canada, so I have to say that puts Canada way ahead of us.
Well,
can I butt in here? It's Michael Shapcott from Toronto.
Welcome, Michael.
I'm co-chair of Canada's National Housing and Homelessness Network. We're a community-based network of housing advocates from one part of Canada to the other. And I just wanted to jump in as people are offering some at least faint praise of the Canadian federal government to say that while it's true that we have a minister in charge of homelessness who is exceptionally sympathetic, because she's a former social worker before she got into politics. The reality is, however, that the sympathy stops at the point of actually delivering
good intentions.
Anything. We housing advocates in this country mounted a very significant campaign in recent years, and in November of 2001, we managed to convince our federal government and all of the provincial and territorial governments. In Canada, we're a federal state, so we have our national government, and then we have provinces and territories, and all of the federal, provincial, territorial governments signed this important document called the Affordable Housing Framework Agreement. Under that agreement, about $1 billion in Canadian dollars over 5 years was to be committed to new affordable housing, and we saw this as being a really significant step to reversing the growing homelessness in Canada. We're now more than 2 years into this agreement. Our national government has only spent $88 million of the $1 billion that it promised, so less than 9% of the amount of money they promised. And I, for one, get quite frustrated when I hear our national homelessness minister going all over the country saying, terrible situation, we really love you, and we'd like to do something about it. When, in fact, you know, our government, after making a substantial commitment, has actually refused to roll out that commitment. So here in Canada, we have politicians who are warm and friendly to the homeless, but when it comes to delivering the dollars, to delivering the programs, we're in a very difficult situation.
The U.S. just had its...
Can you speak up? Because you're too soft.
I believe in the U.S. you just had your State of the Union address, where a lot of commitments are made about the future direction of government priorities. And in Canada, we have a parallel thing called the speech from the throne. And policy wonks and people involved in government, bureaucrats, jockey really hard to get their language, their texts, read in the speech from the throne, because that represents a commitment to actually do something on specific issues. And Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that there was any mention whatsoever, despite all of the sentiments that you mentioned from the minister, I don't believe there was a single mention of homelessness in the speech from the throne.
Yeah, absolutely no reference. And I have to say to you that all across North America, of course, this has been a pretty brutal winter in terms of the weather. Here in Toronto, which, of course, is the biggest city in Canada, and therefore, just by virtue of numbers, we have the largest street population, largest homeless population. We've been having since January, on an almost weekly basis, the city of Toronto has been declaring what it calls extreme cold weather alerts, which basically means don't go outside, because if you do, you're probably going to freeze to death. One of the local partner groups of the National Housing and Homelessness Network in Toronto is a group called the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee. It's a local homeless advocacy group. Once a month, they have a memorial for the homeless people who died in Toronto over the previous month. This winter, we've been adding anywhere up to 10 names every month of homeless people who have died of cold injuries. It's just incredible, the situation in what is, in relative terms, a very rich country, a very rich city. And again, we go back to this, heard the fellow from Switzerland talking about the solutions that are there, and we know that there are solutions here in Canada. In the 1970s and 1980s, our national government used to fund about anywhere from 20 to 30,000 new units of affordable co-op and nonprofit social housing every year. And while that wasn't necessarily enough to meet the entire need, it sure was a very, very significant program. And over a course of about 20 years, our government funded about 600,000 units of affordable social housing across the country. That was all canceled in 1993. And basically no new funding until this agreement that I mentioned in November of 2001 was signed. No new money for almost a decade. So part of our reality in this very bitter cold winter, just to give you an idea of what housing and homeless advocates on the streets of Toronto were doing in the last couple of weeks, we had to mount a campaign to convince our national military, the Department of National Defense, to open up some armories that are usually used by soldiers, reservists, to sort of march back and forth, to open them up and put cots in there so homeless people could get out of the cold. And we managed to convince the military to open one armory. The first night it was opened, 130 people were in there taking shelter from the cold weather. But then the military decided 2 weeks later that they needed it for the soldiers to walk back and forth and do their military exercises, so they proposed to throw everybody out, and we had to mobilize once again. And it's just been a very, very bitter winter, not just from terms of cold, but as advocates are struggling.
We know we've had the same winter down here, and so we have a pretty good idea, although you're a little further north than we are.
Yeah.
Walter, let me ask you, why can you give any explanation to us here in North America, who don't have such good fortune? Why is your government motivated to actually do something? Is this a tradition in Switzerland? Is this a popular thing? What's going on?
Well, I think I was listening to the report from Toronto, and then there was a question back. In a way, I think it is not simply because people are good-hearted and would be generous, and so I think that's not the basis. But the question is, how does a city look like also if there are a lot of homelessness? And there was also a lot of argument to say it's not good for the city, it's not good for the business, it's not good for the tourism, it's not good for anybody to have all these homeless people around. So it is also for self-interest of cities to make some order and to provide other solutions than just having a lot of homeless people around. So I think that's one element. Then certainly there is a certain sense of solidarity that even if we had, for instance, last year sometimes asylum seekers who were not had no housing for a while, this gave usually an uproar in the population because they don't want to have that, to have these homeless people. And that's a little bit what I wanted to ask back to the colleagues in Toronto. How do you explain that people are so, not sensitive to the issue? It looks to me like you have to have 10 dead people every month in Toronto. That's an extreme high number. And it sounds to me a little bit like traffic accidents and victims in the traffic, We are accustomed to 1,000 of people dying on our roads, and somehow population accepts that. I don't know why, but they do. And it seems to me it has also to do with an attitude or with a kind of concern or no concern. And I wonder, because, I mean, American, Canadian people are so concerned for many, many other things. How do you explain that for homelessness they are, in a way, not concerned?
Well, it's Michael in Toronto, Walter. That is an excellent question. And actually, one of the interesting things that's happened in the last year or so in Toronto and in many other parts of Canada is that it hasn't just been the homeless advocates and the homeless themselves who have been raising their voices, but in fact there's an increasing number, obviously faith communities, church groups, many of them. But just recently here in Toronto, for instance, a new business, a group of businesses called the City Summit Alliance, some banks and many of the leading businesses in the city have said they've actually launched a campaign called Enough is Not Enough, or something like that. I've forgotten exactly what it's called now, and they have advertising all around the city saying it's time to move away from Band-Aids and to bring in real housing and to bring in real programs. So, in fact, what's remarkable about Canada is that there is a consensus that is built in the community and business organizations and so on. Where things fall apart is that we have, under our system of government in Canada, we have our national government and our provincial governments. And I'm interested in what you were saying, Walter, about how the local governments are taking responsibility. Here in Canada, many local governments, including the mayor and the city council of the City of Toronto, very concerned about these issues, but they don't have the financial ability to be able to do things like implement housing programs or to do other things along that line. They rely almost entirely on money that's given them to by senior levels of government. So what we have in the end is, although on the one hand there is an almost universal consensus, just 2 nights ago our national television network called the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation devoted 2 hours to a nationwide special on homelessness, and they went from city to city and they exposed the reality of the problem, and it was a very powerful series. And we worked very closely with them and over the last couple of months in preparing this series. So, you know, on the one hand, we have a huge public consensus that it's a serious problem, something must be done, but there's a real sense of inertia at the political level. And what we get is politicians like what you heard earlier, our national minister of homelessness, whose name is Claudette Bradshaw, and she's very good at standing up and saying this is a horrible situation. I've seen her cry, I've seen her hug people, I've seen her do all that sort of stuff. So she does everything short of actually committing the dollars and the programs to address these issues. And local politicians are left sort of saying, you know, we'd like to do something, but we don't have any financial ability, and we don't have any power under our system of government because municipal governments aren't in Canada given much authority to do anything.
Walter and nobody, I'd like to ask you because in Montreal we're going through a very severe period of gentrification, and I'm wondering if you can talk about who is benefiting from homelessness.
What I said earlier, I think that it's much easier to implement programs if the decision-making power remains locally.
Yes.
Because housing actually is not a statewide problem. It's basically a problem of local concern, and also the solutions you can find must be found locally. But as you are pointing out rightly, this has to be financed, and some means have to be met. They're put aside. So I think that, in Switzerland, communities can raise taxes. So they have their own possibilities to generate money. Also, they are not rich, but they have at least the means to raise some money. And local parliaments are then deciding also on such programs.
Mm-hmm.
And another point which seems to me very important for the success of a program is that the people concerned are involved, and that they have also to make their contribution. I think all of the systems we have worked out in the last years had a tendency to include the people and to give them also some rights, but also obligations. So they have to for instance, they have to do their own effort. That for instance, they can live peacefully together in a complex, or to keep some order. So to involve these people is very important, not just